Welcome to Walk in the Spirit, an expository teaching of God's Word. Walk in the Spirit is the audio outreach ministry of Pocatello Baptist Church. It is our prayer and desire that with the help of this message, we all will learn to walk in the Spirit.
Let's read again in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, and we'll go through this, and with God's help, we'll get through it, and I'll get the point across, and it says, I charge thee therefore before God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. And it shall turn away from their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch unto all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul said, I have fought the good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. 2003, just before the team left for the locker room to play at the national championship of college football in the Fiesta Bowl of 2003, Jim Tressel, the head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, gathered his team for one final talk. After going over the game plan, he looked at his team and he said, hey, men, he says, how do you want to be remembered? At that point, they were playing Miami. Miami at that time was 34 on a 34 winning streak. While they were down, they came back and they won. The question today that I want to ask you guys this, and I want you to take your bulletin and write down these words. How do you want to be remembered today? How do you want to be remembered? How do you want to leave? If you die and you go to heaven, what are they going to say about you? When I was growing up, I lived in Philadelphia, and across the street, I don't know why, but they built houses across the street in the cemetery, and that's how we used to skip school, because nobody wanted to look for us in the cemetery. So we go to the cemetery, and you see these tombstones, and these tombstones would have words like, beloved son. And they're old, you know, they're going back to when the country was found. And then you walk down and you could go deep in the cemetery. I'm talking about the cemetery was miles long. And you'll see all these words of beloved son, loving husband, in Jesus, slept in Christ. But there was one that stuck out to me that I wanted to share with you guys. These five words that were put on there, man of unquestioned integrity. One day I was at work and I was thinking about this because I had to preach on a Wednesday and I was thinking to myself, I wondered if I died today, how are they going to remember Eddie? If I were to die today of a heart attack or die in a car crash or however God wants to take me home, how are they going to remember me? And I sat there and I was by my computer and I was writing this and I was like, Lord, what do you want me to preach? And I was thinking about the teens and I was like, man, I wonder how are they remembered today at school. I wonder how their actions of them doing right or wrong. How, today at an instant, how are they going to remember you? And it stuck with me, kind of like, Eddie, did you do well today? Eddie, did you live for Christ today? Eddie, did you say the right things? Did you treat people the right way? Because that last moment, that last interaction you have with somebody is how they're going to perceive you the rest of your life. I was sitting there and Paul... Bev had to tell me how to say this word. He wrote his own epitaph, right? Is that how you say? Epitaph. And he said, I fought the good fight. He's going on. He said, I fought the good fight. He said, I finished my course. And you know, there was a time, and I wrote this down, that if we were to die 60, 70, or 80 years old and we die, and we go to heaven, how is he going to be remembered? Paul said, I could be remembered as this, that I fought the good fight. I finished my course. He says, I have kept the faith. You know, I feel ashamed, I would say 80% of my Christian life. Because when I got saved, when I was 22, and I got saved at a Christian college, I can't speak for you guys, but I can speak for myself that the life I had before wasn't a life that was pleasing to God. The life I had before wasn't even a life my mom and dad were proud of. And I was sitting there, and like I said, I'm writing this for myself because when I talk to them, I'm talking to myself because I have a lot to learn still, and I'm still young. And I was sitting there, Eddie, you know, the 8 years that you were saved and you said you gave your life to Christ, can you say that you finished well? Can you say at this time that you were striving for the right things? And I don't mean to be repetitive, but it's on my mind daily. It's on my mind every day when I go to sleep. Did I do right for God today? Did I do the right things? Because at the end of the day, it's not how Eddie finishes. It's that he finished for Christ well. Here's Paul's answer to that question. Writing from a Roman jail with this certain knowledge that he will soon die, he looked back at the journey with Christ, and then he looked forward to what happened after he died. Then he wrote his own epitaph from I am ready, being poured out like a drink offering. And the time has come for my departure. He says, I fought the good fight. You know, there was a study done. And I like to read about this because, you know, I'm still young in Christ. And I like to read about how the old people, the people back in the day. Sorry, my bad. Because what is old, right? So the people back in the day when they served Christ, they would do extensive studies. And there was this guy back in the 1800s who took a biography of everybody in the Bible. And he said that 80% of the people in the Bible stayed the course but failed. But if you read about Paul, when he started, he finished well. My question for you, and I just want to talk about striving for a second. When you say you're striving to be like Christ, you can never be perfect. If you wake up in the morning, man, I'm going to be perfect today, you failed yourself. There was only one man that was perfect. His name was Christ Jesus. That when he died on the cross, he died for our sins. He made the ultimate sacrifice for you and me to go to heaven because we're not perfect. No matter how hard we try, no matter how much we want to get up and do the right thing, we're always going to fail. We were destined to fail. That's why he gave us his son. We live in a sinful body. Every time we say something, every time we think something dirty, every time we watch something we shouldn't watch, we're failing. So don't set yourself up for failure saying, I'm going to be perfect today because you're doing the wrong thing. The word striving means to make effort. It doesn't mean to be perfect. It doesn't mean that I'm gonna be the perfect Christian and holier than thou, because then you failed. And you're setting yourself up for failure. The idea for striving is a daily concept. You know, I read this verse and I'm gonna read it to you, and it says in Philippians 1:27, it says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. It's a daily thing. Daily thing. When you want to be remembered. It's a fight every day. I want to share a story with you, and Pastor does such a great job going through the Bible, and I'm only going to go share with you my experience, and this is a story that I had in college. When I went to a Christian college, I ended up in Christian college and my friend got shot. And when I ended up in Christian college, I got saved in a room four times bigger than this. The guy had a mic just like this. He had a nice suit, and I was sweating because they didn't have the air conditioner on. And the only thing I remembered was, don't go to hell from here. And I was like, you know, we go on this bus and we're supposed to go to a beach. And I told you guys the story of me sitting in this coach bus, and I picked it out because I'm like, that bus has air conditioning. We're in California. These suckers are gonna melt. I'm gonna go in air conditioning. So I get on this bus and I go way to the back because the air conditioner is right there and it blows out. And then we're driving down the road and the guy gets on the intercom and says, hello, the air conditioner is gone. Please open the back window. And there was one window you could open, only one. And we're in a whole suit and tie, and I'm sitting there pouring sweat. And I'm like, I'm an idiot. I'm like, I set myself up. And I'm sitting, and all these people are riding by us with the bus with their windows all the way down, sticking their hand out. And the only thing I'm sticking out is my face like this. And you're hoping the guy next to you doesn't do anything inappropriate because it will stink in there. So I'm sitting there, man, this isn't even hell. This is the bus being hot. So I'm sitting on the bus, and I remember thinking to myself, he said, don't go to hell from here. And I'm sweating, and I'm pouring sweat, and the ride's like 40 minutes to go see the Angels play. And I'm like, if this was for the Yankees, I'm all down for it. I'll suffer. But the Angels? We get off the bus. We make it. I get saved. And I think to myself from that moment, What am I going to do to change? Because you only do something extraordinary, right? You only change when something extraordinary happens in your life. And that moment, God saved my soul. That moment, I realized that my Savior did something great for me. That moment, I realized that, Eddie, everything you did in your whole life, everything you did back then, doesn't matter because today you made a difference. Today you changed. How are you going to serve God from now moving forward? And I remember that night, going back to the dorm room, I had a Bible that I got from the dollar store. And I remember turning the Bible to John, and I remember reading it. And I remember crying because I thought, man, he loved me so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for the cross for my sin. And I remember calling my mom and dad and telling, hey, Mom, I need your forgiveness. I wasn't the son I should have been. I remember calling my dad, and he thought, you said this to me before. You told me this many times that you're going to change. You told me several times that you wouldn't do it, and you ended up doing it, and worse. And I remember the words I told my dad. I said, watch me. And every day at that time, I thought about, have I changed enough that my dad could see a difference in me? Or because of my actions, is he going to go to hell because he thinks every Christian is a hypocrite? Every day I called him, I would say, Dad, I love you and I'm praying for you. When he seen pictures of me and my wife, he seen me loving my wife and my kids. Or when he saw something different. When we saw him 6 years later, because he wouldn't come to our wedding. My mom didn't come to our wedding. It was just her family. My family wasn't there. And 6 years later, when he saw us, he said to me, he pulled me to the side. He says, Junior, because my dad is Eddie, but I'm the cuter Eddie. Don't let him lie to you just because he could grow a beard. And he said to me, and he pulled me aside, he says, you changed.
It took me 6 years. It took God 6 years to break off the pieces of my heart that were cold, that was solidified in the world, that was a dirty guy. And for him to pull me aside when we get off the airplane, and he pulled me to the side and says, you changed and I'm proud of you. I could finally tell my dad about the gospel. Because it wasn't me. It was him working in me. We left Florida that the whole week we were there. We come back home. And I thought to myself, I wonder who else can see the difference. Because I've done things, you know. You're not perfect. You're never going to be perfect. You're going to go backwards sometimes. You're going to run the race sometimes. You're going to fall.
Now the question is, if you're going to fall, are you going to get back up? Because the race might be over for them, but for you, you're still running. The race might be, they might be going faster than you, but you're still running. It doesn't matter when you get there, it's how you finish. So the whole time I get back and I'm in Montana, I'm like, I wonder if I go to work, do they see a difference? Am I with my friends that I'm not with my wife, do they see a difference? Do I act different? Do I say different things? Do I watch different things? And the question comes again, how do you want to be remembered? We have a life that God has given us. Does everybody agree? He's given us health. Some of us, financial stability. Some of us, he teaches us through harder things or harder roads we have to go down. We have a pastor who, his mom, his stepmom died. He's going through this with his son. He's going through this with himself. And you wonder to yourself, I wonder what he did wrong. And he didn't do anything wrong. We all have our different road to travel. And God put us through things that we can handle. But it's how you handle in the times of hardness, how you act in the times of hardness is what people see. It's what people watch for. Anybody could have a great month where you feel like everything's in place and you act like a great Christian, but it's that one time, it's that one second, it's that one thing that happens to your life. It's how do you react to it? How do you take it in? How do you react to the problems going in your life? Are you going to go backwards or are you going to go forward? Striving together. Isn't perfection. Striving together is a step-by-step process. It's getting out of bed in the morning thanking God that you're alive. It's getting in bed out of the morning and reading your Bible and saying, Lord, help me today. Because if you think you could do it in your own power, guess what? You failed. And it's those that think they could do it on their own power that never get up when they fall. Because it's easier to do the wrong thing. I have this verse I want to share with you. If you're turning your Bibles, I have an iPad because, you know, I can't see this. So, and I could zoom this in. So if you turn your Bibles to Corinthians chapter 10. Well, there's many Corinthians, huh? Error. I'm hoping that's 1 Corinthians chapter 10. If it's not, I'll read it to you, and I'm sorry. Copy and paste doesn't work on Apple, guys. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And I'm hoping this is the right verse for you guys. For me, it's right because I have a copy. But it says, "There have no temptation taken to you, but such as common to man. But it says, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what ye are able. But he will, with temptation, always make a way for you to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." How are you going to be remembered? How are you going to be remembered? And I'm talking to you guys about a struggle, or talking to you guys about, you know, you get that knock on the door because you went backwards and you can't pay your bills because, you know, that's part of life. And somebody hands you a summon at that moment. How did you act? At that moment when you feel like, man, my kid is going through a hard time. She's never going to get better. How are you acting through that time? How are you going to be remembered? What are they going to say about you? I want to finish well. I want to continue my life in a way that I could be like, Lord, I've been through a lot, but you've always taken me through it. I want the same conversation, not with my dad, but with my sister. Like, you changed. With my brother, you changed. With my aunt, you changed. Or the people at work, what's wrong with you? You're different. What do you have different that I don't have? They should see Jesus in me. I'm not perfect, but they should see a glimpse of him in the way I act. I'm at work, and I work with a bunch of Mormons. This is cool. We believe in the same things. We clock out at the same time. And every day I look at him and I go, hey, man. He'll come up and he'll say something to me. And I'll just, you know, I usually try not to brush it off. But I brush it off because I don't want to say anything stupid. But one time I couldn't take it anymore. It was like the Battle of the Mormons. And I was the only brown Baptist dude. And I'm sitting there and we're in the middle of the floor, and if you've ever been to Rising, you know what it looks like. And it's like a graveyard and there's dead, nobody in. And these people are hanging around the thing and they say something totally reckless. And I'm walking by. This is before I was the boss, right? Before I became daddy. And I'm walking by, and he says something totally like, man, it blew my mind. And I looked at him and I go, does that not embarrass you that you claim to be LDS and that comes out of your mouth? What do you mean? Okay, so let me draw it out for you, because I guess we don't understand English now. So does it not make you feel weird that people around you, you claim to know our Savior, you claim to know that he died on the cross for our sins, you claim to know that you're supposed to live like Christ so that they could see something different, and yet what comes out of your mouth is so perverted that you sound like I'm back in the streets of Philly? Does that not bother you? Why? What does it bother you? I said, yeah, it bothers me because we're supposed to be different. If you believe in the same Christ that I believe in, you believe that he died on the cross for your sins, you and me should be talking a different talk. This Marine, because he's a former Marine, looked at me and his face started turning red. And you can tell he was upset. I said, you can get mad all you want, dude. You said it. I said, the only problem is you're not willing to accept that you're made here. I say that story to say this. We are going to mess up. You will say the wrong thing. And if you don't, you're lying to yourself. You will watch the wrong things. You would pick up a magazine you probably shouldn't pick up. But at the end of the day, it's going to be this question. Do you believe enough in our Savior that he could take that away from you? Do you believe enough in our God that died on the cross? If you could believe that our Jesus, our perfect God, died on the cross for your sins and hung there so we could go to heaven, why do we not believe that he could take away our sin? Or take away the hard things that are keeping us down? Why do we not believe that he could wash that away from us and take it away? Why do you not believe that he could help you? Help you get away from pornography if you're struggling with that. Help you get away from saying things you shouldn't say. Help you get away from the images, because I had images in my head for like 6 years of things I've done. If he could die on the cross for my sin on the cross, he could take that away. That's easy for him. But yeah, we put God in a box. In the box. And we hope that box is enough and that we do enough around it. We never put anything in to take away from us because we love in the condition we're at. But yet we believe him that he could die on that. We believe that. But yet every day we struggle. We never go back to him and say, Lord, take that away from me. Why do we put our God in a box? Why? Our God is great. Man, our God is amazing. I mean, our God is, nothing could touch our God, and he did a work for us that was amazing. So why do we hinder our God? It's us. It's us. We're scared of change. Change is scary. In order to be remembered well, we need to change. Or you're going to still have the same people saying the same things about you. And I'll tell you what, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that dude that used to do dumb things. I want them to say, man, he got saved. He lives in Pocatello. He speaks two languages, but he never lets the other one come out because he doesn't want to get hung. He has a lovely wife and kids. He reads his Bible. He gets the opportunity to preach to them and to love on them. And they've helped me change. I never want to slip back to old Eddie. Because if so, everything that the Lord has helped me worked on is going to be erased. Because all they see is the last thing I did wrong. And I have another verse I want to share with you guys. And this is the last thing. It's called, we could strive. So you could strive and you know you can never be perfect. Striving, you know, I said it once. You can never be perfect. It's an ongoing thing. Next thing is we got to press toward it. So now that we know what our goal is to be remembered well and finish well for Christ, we got to press toward that mark. The Bible says, if you read with me, got it written down here, Acts 20:24. The Bible says, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace. You know, when I came into the renewal conference, he said that verse to me. We used to read that in college. Now that we know we got to strive, but we can't be perfect, we have to press toward the mark. We got to press toward. How do you do that? It's a daily walk with him. He says, and I die daily. It's ongoing. It's never finishing. It's always changing. It's always going through the bad patches in life. It's always waking up and starting over. It's renewing yourself in the reading of the word and praying and being together in fellowship. We change daily and we press towards it daily so that when we die, we can say we finish well. It's every day. He says, but none of these things move me. Man, I'm one of those. I used to play football in college. I'm one of those. You tell me that, I'm going to go for it. I'm like the most energetic fat person. I have too much energy for this body. I can't keep up with myself. I'm stoked. So when you tell me that none of these things move me, that I could do this for Christ, I want to do that. And I want to continue, but I have to note to myself that it's not Eddie. Eddie can't do it. Eddie and all his awesomeness can't begin to do a perfect will for God if he's not willing to give God his body, his mind, his soul, his mouth, the way he talks, his money. Because he wants everything. He doesn't want a piece of it. He wants all of it. That's when you start to change. That's when he starts using you. You can press toward the mark. He wants all of you. Not just a little bit. You think he died on a cross just to have your nice hair? No. He wants you. All of it. He wants you daily. He wants you to read the word and pick it up and know that this book is living. This book is alive. It's like that Johnny Five movie. He's alive. Johnny Five is alive. Hey, the word of God is alive. And he wants this to mold you, to guide you through those hard times. He wants this to get you through the trials in your life. Why would God preserve a perfect book and us not read it? And he wants us to pray to him. You know, this is all we have of our Savior, the stories of Noah's time and the stories of David and Goliath and the stories of even the wrong things he did. To know that God, even though back then he didn't send Jesus yet, he still gave David a way to get out of his sin. He gave us this so that we could change and become in the image of Christ so that we could press toward the mark. And that way people could start running with us. People could start in this journey with us, together. Striving together for the faith, right? It's you and me, not just myself. You might get there first. You might run faster, which 90% of you could run faster than me. But I'm going to finish. And when I do, I'm going to say, I finished well, Lord. I did my best for you. The Bible says, if you'll turn your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians. See, I have this one right. 1 Corinthians 9, 24. He says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery and temperate in all things, know that they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so I fight, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it unto the subjection, lest that any by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. I'm not running for money. I'm running to see my Savior, bro. I want him to see me like you tried for me. And I think about my dad, because my dad is awesome. And I think about when my mom left, my dad was always there. And I always told myself, I want to be like my dad. The guy was loyal. The guy knew how to love people. And you go your whole life thinking, man, I want to make my dad proud. Maybe you, it's your mom. Or your aunt. Whoever raised you. And I just remember my dad. And I thought to myself, dude, when I grow up and I become prettier than he is, I want him to say, I'm proud of you, Junior. Every sacrifice I made, you did better than me. How do you think Jesus wants us to be?
I want my Savior to be proud of me. I want my Savior to see me not as the failure that I am, but see me as one that, man, he really tried. No matter how hard it was to obtain perfection, he really tried. I want my Savior to be proud of me so he can't say, man, I died for him, but he didn't care. Can you imagine your own father, your own mother dying on a cross for you and you rejecting him and doing the wrong thing and knowing that all he asks is that you love him and you do the right thing for him and you show people that he died for you? Then why do we do it to our Savior? Why do we do it to our God?
Man, I couldn't imagine. I couldn't put it in perspective. If I was there, I couldn't contain myself. I would want to do something to try to get my dad off the cross, but yet he died willingly. He died willingly for us. And yet, we're ashamed to tell people about our Christ. He died willingly for me. And yet, I'm ashamed to read my Bible during lunch. The man died for me. He didn't have to. He could have started the world over. And yet, I'm ashamed to live like Christ. I don't want to be remembered like that. Like, I want my Father to be proud of me. Why not do that for our Savior? Why not do that for him? Why not press on, press toward, run the race together? Because it's hard running by yourself. You ever try to wake up in the morning and run by yourself? I did it once. And it was tough. I made it down the stairs. I had my Nikes on. I told my wife, I'm going to do it. And I looked outside and it was dark. I was like, nah, let me go back to sleep. I went back upstairs, took Nikes off, went to sleep. But then I had this friend come up with me and said, we could do it together. It motivates you, right? Because you don't want him to show you up. Christian life, I know that sounds stupid, but it's easier together. It's easier when you're running the same race. to bring people on board to run it with you. The hardest thing to do is a thing that you can do it by yourself. Got another verse I want to share with you guys here. Oh my goodness, I just closed it. Whew, Apple. All right, here we go. So the next verse I want to share with you guys is Philippians 3:14. Philippians 3:14. Philippians 3:14. He said in Philippians 3:14, he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Pressing toward the mark. Hebrews 12:1, you don't have to turn now, I'll read it to you. It says, wherefore, seeing we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You ever try to run a race with weight on your back? It's hard. Trust me, I got a lot of it. It's hard. We got to strive together. Know that we're not perfect. We have to press toward the mark, but it's hard to press toward the mark when you have a lot of weight and that sin that so easily beset us. Why not give it to God? Why not ask him to wash away our sins? We did it once. You know, every day he says, and I die daily. You know, it's every day you can ask him to forgive you for your sins and help you get through that. So the race could be easier for you to be won. It's so hard to read your Bible when you're in sin because you don't want to get washed. You don't want to get clean. It's so hard to pray to God when you feel like you've done something you shouldn't. So you sit there and you look at your ceiling. You're like, and you feel convicted. Why not give it to God? We did it once already when we asked him to wash away our sins. Why not give him our sins so that we can run our race and finish running it? And it's easy for us so that we don't get sidetracked. So we don't get off course. So we can keep moving forward and keep pressing toward the mark. Why not hand it to him? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Every day. Why not ask him to help you with what you're struggling with? We're quick to ask him to save our soul. We have that much faith in our Christ to say, Lord, save us from hell. But yet our daily small things are a minutia. We won't give it to him. Why? Why make the race so hard for yourself? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Do you mean that? Do you mean that? I do. I know I can never be the Eddie I want to be when I'm running my race when I have sin in my life. I'm not going to judge you because I'm worse than you are. We're all sinners. We're all destined to go to hell. There was one guy who did it for us so that we could go to heaven. So if I know I'm a sinner, why are you? I'm not saying you are. I don't know you guys. I know half of you guys. Why are you in denial? The worst thing is to be in denial as to what you have holding you back from serving God. Because you'll never know where you could have ran because you have been stopped in your tracks. You have been derailed. You have been put on a sideline because you're so focused on you that you never know the impact that you could have made in somebody's life because you didn't give it to God. One more verse I want to share with you guys. If you go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 through 14. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 and 14 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering and joyfulness. Give thanks unto our Father, which hath made us to meet the partakers of the inheritance of saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through the blood and the forgiveness of sins. What can wash away our sins? Best song I ever sung. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And he gives you power to do that. I know this is short today, but my question to you is this. How do you want to be remembered? Marcus's grandmother died, and we all remember her, that she was a sweet, loving woman. Sad. Question for you is, we're still living. We still have a point to make. We still have a lot to do for Christ until he takes you home. The race hasn't been won yet because we're not in glory. We're not. I remember Dawson. I asked Dawson a question. I go, how do you want to be remembered? He said, good guy. I firmly believe that. He looked at me and he smiled and he started laughing. How do I want to be remembered? I want to be remembered as a man that finished well. That he did his best for Christ. Today, pastor's not here. Pray for him. Don't leave here thinking to yourself that you're perfect, because you're lying to yourself. But we strive daily to be what Christ wants us to be, and then we have to press toward that. And then ask yourself, how are you going to be remembered?
Thank you for studying God's Word with us on Walk in the Spirit. To hear more of this or other portions of Scripture, please visit www.PocatelloBaptistChurch.com, or you can write us at 190 West Chapel Road, Pocatello, Idaho, 83201. If you live in or are visiting Southeast Idaho, we would like to have you join us here at Pocatello Baptist Church for any of our services. Our service times begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m., Sunday worship at 10 a.m., and Sunday evening study at 5 p.m. We have a midweek study and prayer service for both adults and youth on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Child care is available for all of our services. For more information or directions, please call us at 208-237-4915. Until next time, God bless you as you walk in the Spirit.